Cupid, draw back your bow and get out of Morrison's, because that is illegal, you psychopath with wings.
You don't have to invent a song for every show that we do. You know that, yeah?
No, but I'm hoping someone, like, whoever, like, for example, the bloke who manages the Smurfs rings, say ears and thinks, I'll sign him to an exclusive record deal where I will happily sing Mr. Smurftastic if it means I can pay my rent. Also, more important to note is that I decided to rhyme Bo, not with Tesco, which rhymes... But Morrison, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Don't Let's Chat.
Romantical! Oh, gravy.
Welcome to Don't Let's Chat. With me, as ever, is Mr.
Phil Catterald.
And welcome to not especially romantic Don't Let's Chat.
No, it's not.
For Valentine's Week, because... It's only 10th. It's not like, 12 days of Christmas.
Good, yeah, no.
Well, what do you want me to do? Oh, sing the, of course, the national anthem of Valentine's Day, which is, of course, Ooh La La by the Wise Guys.
I don't think you've thought that sentence through from the beginning to the end.
Look, all right, I was looking at a computer. I was hoping it was going to give me some inspiration. And there was nothing.
You shouldn't have done that.
Which is appropriate enough for our first chart this week.
It is.
As we look back in history to 1996 and what happened on this day.
This day in 1996, Deep Blue beat Garry Kasparov at the chess.
Yeah, I remember this at the time, not being a big chess person or anything. Or,
no.
I know, you're amazed. But it's like a computer beating someone who was very good at chess. And I couldn't really understand why it was such a big deal. But like 25 years on, yeah, I'm seeing it. Do you think computers are becoming more... or less bastards?
It was only yesterday that I saw on Twitter that someone had a background check from their job where basically they got 300 pages of their tweets and tweets that they had liked that had, like, the word fuck in them. All printed out. So, which at first you think, well, this is a dystopian hellscape, and then you realise, no, someone has just done a search for that word. And then printed them out, which is actually worse than someone just looking at your timeline and making judgments based on it. So, swings and roundabouts.
But if we wanted to prove the hypothesis that computers are bastards, could we do that in a list-based format?
I have borrowed a list from the FW.com.
Ah, Frank Williams. I'm a big fan of his work.
I don't know what it stands for, and I can't find out. At least it'll
say
it somewhere.
Frozen Wilbers.
And this is their list of the top 10 evil computers. That's what they've gone with.
Oh, the 10th most bastard computer, according to Flimpson Wimpsons. I don't know. I didn't think that through.
Yep.
Is...
Every Y2K computer, which is a very broad spectrum.
I mean, yeah.
they cite specifically a film that I'd never heard of called Y2K Terminal Countdown, which features Lewis Gossett Jr., Malcolm McDowell,
Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston. No, that's the Windows 95 videos.
Your main two are Malcolm McDowell and Lewis Gossett Jr., which is apparently about...
95 minutes, then.
On the eve of the last year of the 20th century, a nervous military leader... They're the best kinds of military leaders... assembles a team to help him deal with an unforeseen problem as they are being alerted of a long-missing nuclear missile hidden somewhere deep in the jungle, which is set to go off in January 2000 due to the Millennium Bug. How does that work?
Oh, it's like he's going, looking at his watch, he's thinking, right, it'll be Angus Durton's New Year wrap-ups nearly done.
Oh, hang on, Sarah Chalk's in it as well. There you go.
Oh, well, that is her kind of between.
Yeah.
Pre-scrubs.
Yeah.
But do you remember? I obviously remember the Y2K thing. I'm not sure I was ever that worried about it.
Yeah, it was a a serious issue, but a lot of effort went into making sure it wasn't a serious issue, which is why idiots cite it as why Brexit will all definitely be fine, because people worried about Y2K and it turned out fine. It's like, yeah, it did, because loads of people did loads of work to make sure it was okay, you muppets. And now apparently we're running up against like some of the quick fixes from Y2K now, because they moved things so that like the first 20 years of the 21st century counted, and then once you pass 2020 you get into dodgy territory again in some cases.
Right.
So
I didn't know that.
It was because so your two digit dates, as long as it was one that was after 20, it was very it's a lot more complicated than that.
Someone did a video very recently on the Y2K thing, yes, and how it all came. It
might have been LGR.
At nine
the Matrix from
is that Matrix. A computer?
I mean, yeah, it's a big computer simulation, isn't it? So
I suppose it's more like something within a computer, you know, like it's a program running within it. So I never think of it as like the actual thing. But
I mean, I guess the question is whether the machines as a whole are a single consciousness, in which case they'd be one computer, or whether they're all individuals, and that's part of the nature of those films. But anyway, it is bad for people. Is the Matrix is bad?
I mean, if it was like a bad sentient evil version of Minesweeper, would that make the computer evil?
Yes.
Eighth most evil computer?
The eighth is Carl in Ghost in the Machine, which I had not heard of and had to look up.
I have seen this film.
Have you?
Many years ago. I can't remember. It's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And then he gets into the computer because there's some lightning.
So he has a car crash. He's in an MRI machine, and then there's lightning, and somehow the lightning transfers his soul into the computer.
It becomes that electric gremlin.
Basically, yeah. Not a bad cast. Some of these, you've got Karen Allen as your main character. You've got Chris Mulkey that you've seen in things. You've definitely seen him in things. Especially Twin Peaks. If you Google Chris Mulkey and look at his face, you've definitely seen his face. Jessica Walter's in it.
Let's look at Chris Mulkey. Oh, yep. Him. Yeah. He looks like a sad beagle. Number seven,
Skynet. This is surprisingly low, although thankfully we're past Judgment Day now. So by getting on for 25 years at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. 97 seems so far.
It really does.
The future in 1982. But I haven't seen Dark Fate. I don't know if you have.
I have.
Apparently it's all right.
It's fine. But I like Genesis, so maybe don't listen to me.
I like the one where they all dribbled to Terminator Salivation.
That is...
No, moving on. What are we at? Six.
Edgar from Electric Dreams. I've not seen Electric Dreams. Is it good?
No, it's not. I remember, weirdly, it became one of them films that was like very, very everywhere.
Right.
And then, I don't know if it came out on DVD for ages. I remember seeing it on Bravo in the mid-90s when it was still showing like weird old black and white stuff. It's just so bloody slow. You can't imagine it now in like a film about a sassy computer. It's a very odd film. I mean, obviously the theme is still Top Hole.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always be together. Electric Dreams.
Yep, that's how it goes.
But also, I mean, you look at the artwork. I seem to recall the poster for Electric Dreams is like a Wicked Willy style drawing of a computer with devil horns and a tail.
That's it.
And it's like, and then it's got the most 80s font.
Yeah.
Saying Electric Dreams.
There was also a video game company called Electric Dreams as well, which used almost the same logo, if I remember.
Yes, not dissimilar. Not dissimilar.
Oh, I know. I remember them. I remember them because they did that bloody Aliens game. Ooh.
Fair enough.
I hate that game. I hate it. Anyway.
I'll take your word for that. Five.
The supercomputer from Superman 3. Yeah, that one, with that bit in it. The bit that everyone hates. I hate that bit. It's still.
Richard Pryor, Superman 3. Brackets also include Superman.
Brackets does not include Lex Luthor. Brackets, Gene Hackman said, you're all right.
Do you know what? Superman 3 was the first one I saw. Okay. And I really enjoyed it because I like comedy films. I didn't know.
You didn't know what it was supposed to be.
What it's supposed to be, you know. And then you see, like, the first one, you go, oh, no, you're right. Yeah, it's got to plot and be like, adventurous and exciting and actually about Superman.
Yeah. I don't even want to describe it. It's just, there's a clip of it on YouTube, and it's still terrifying, and I still hate it.
Yeah. Basically, if you're listening, Rich Nelson from Betamax Video Club, over you!
What's supposed to happen when you do that?
He's going to say, thanks, Ben, and start talking wherever he is. No matter if he's in the park, supermarket.
Immediately records a podcast about that bit.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah. Just start talking about Superman 3. Whenever you hear this, it's like your trigger word. It's like that big Kingsman in the church.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Sorry.
Four.
Joshua Computer from Water Games. Water Games? War Games. What's happened to my eyes? I can't. Water Games? That's my upcoming mashup of War Games and Water World, in which, I don't know.
You get a computer and it goes underwater and stops working.
Yeah, instead of Dennis Hopper as the villain, it's a computer which, as you say, is just thrown into the ocean.
It's a lot cheaper.
It's a very short film.
War Games, yes. Again, another one of those which is more iconic than watchable, necessarily. Yes.
My only issue with the inclusion of this one in the list is there's no evil from the computer in this. It's literally just, hey, do you want me to find nuclear weapons at things? Yeah, all right, I'll do that. No.
That's do you want me to do the one thing I'm programmed to do?
Exactly.
Yes.
it's like the, but most evil dogs, that one that barks, no, you can't do that.
That one that I've been kicking for a year that suddenly bit me. It's like, yeah, no, you can't. No.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, I sort of see the point, but also no, I disagree with you. The FW, that one's wrong.
Frank Wilson's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flaccid Willies.
Is that Dennis's next door neighbour?
Yeah, Flaccid Willies, yeah.
No, Flaccid Wilson. Number three, the NCOM 511 from Tron.
Again, another one of those 80s films that's like, it's good, but it's very slow.
It's all right. It's fine, basically. It's all right.
Oh, dear. We'll all be watching Tron first when we get as Disney Plus subscriptions, I'm guessing. Just after Song of the... Oh, no, that's not that. It's not that. Two!
This one, you're going to laugh at. No one else is going to appreciate why. It's Proteus 4 from Demon Seed.
The answer, of course, is Demon Seed.
Yes.
Oh, a film in which a computer tries to put some devil spunk in a woman.
Not tries, successfully does.
I didn't want to spoil it. They might all be rushing out to watch it. Is that on Disney Plus?
No, I mean, the trailers make it clear that that's what happened. It's Robert Vaughn voicing the computer as well. Uncredited Robert Vaughn.
I never knew that.
Yeah. It's about an evil computer that wants to have a baby. That's your premise.
It's that standard trope.
Yeah, it's not very good. And it lives on as an in-joke for anyone who ever saw Adam and Joe's parody of the Channel 5 quiz show 100%.
Yes, correct. Our number one, the most evil bastard computer of all time is...
It's HAL 9000 from 2001.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's... But again, is it evil or is it merely running on
protocols? Well, I mean, that's the question, is it? Could you have an actual evil computer, or is it always going to be a result of what we've asked it to do in the first place? That's the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. And if we're talking about slow films, by Christ!
Yes.
I love the slowness of 2001, to be fair.
It is the point.
It's one of those films I like to put on in the background. It's just kind of... because there's that constant hum.
Yeah.
It's just like... which we now associate with space films, you know, there's just that...
That constant background Leonard Rossiter that we've all come to expect.
What, Ruxby?
Yes, that's him. In terms of computers that would make people scared of computers, how pretty up there in terms of, oh yeah, that could happen if we had a computer that we let do all those things. And that's why everyone doesn't have voice-activated computers in their house connected to all of their household systems these days. That's why... oh no.
Oh,
we've done it wrong.
Oh, we've done Alexa, it wrong. Play the end of the world. A demon seed.
Dead.
My skins.
The answer was C.
Hey, Vern. Know what I mean? 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 I know what you mean.
So that was a lovely chart there about some computers, which I find to be the third most romantic thing in the world. But what is second, you're asking?
What is second, Ben? What is second?
What is second? Well, of course, it's the Ernest films.
Yeah, that's it. That's the sequence. It goes flowers, chocolates, evil computers, the Ernest films, and we'll save number one for later. That's how it goes.
Look, I was looking at what happened, and Jim Varney tragically died on this date.
Oh.
20 years ago.
Bless him.
It was in the Beverly Hillbillies, if you remember, they did a big budget version of that.
I do.
But he was mainly known as Ernest P. Worrell.
He was.
The slack-jawed, idiot handyman who got himself into scrapes in a series of increasingly unasked-for films. And unfortunately, as it's quiz section time, you're going to decide if the ones I'm about to read out are real unwanted Ernest films. Of ones I have invented.
Go on then.
Number one, Ernest Scared Stupid.
That's a real one. I'm aware of that one.
1991, Ernest accidentally unleashes an ugly troll that plots to transform children into wooden dolls.
Sure.
Cool.
I mean...
Number two, Ernest Wanked Stupid.
No. No.
He wanked so much.
No. No.
Number three, Ernest in the Army.
Ooh. I think no.
It is a direct-to-video 1998 film just before his death.
Wow.
Ernest joins the Army Reserves who can drive the big rigs, but ends up being sent into combat. And you'll be pleased to know that Jim Varney plays three parts in that film.
Right.
Private Ernest P. Worrell, Army Captain, and of course... Arab on quicksand.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm already sold on this film, Ben. Where can I get a copy?
Video.
Thanks.
Video.
Thanks.
Disney Plus? No. I don't know
anything about that one. They probably own it now. They probably own it.
They probably do. Number four, Ernest Saves Easter.
No.
Yeah, it's fake, correct.
Okay.
Number five, Ernest saves £3.72 by using his club card at the checkout.
Were you struggling a bit with this one, Ben?
When you remove the recording day four in 2 days, that's what you get.
Fair.
No, sorry. It's not. It's not real, no. Number six, Slam Dunk Ernest.
I hope that's a real one.
1995, yes. Ernest P. Worrell becomes a basketball star after an angel bearing an uncanny resemblance to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar gives him a pair of magic sneakers. Director video.
What? How did that not get a theatrical release? I am appalled.
I know. That's the IMDb write-up as well.
If you get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in there, you should You should be in theatres. Sure.
Seven. Ernest Goes to School.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be a real one.
1994, Ernest P. Worrell returns in a film as a school maintenance man seeking to obtain a high school diploma despite being 45 and looking like every sex offender that's ever existed. Straight to video. I might have added that last
bit. I think you've bolted a few words in there.
It's Billy Madison, but less jokes.
Okay.
Oh, number eight, Ernest Goes to Skipton.
I wish he had.
Number nine, Ernest Goes to Africa.
Yes.
Real, 1997. Wow. Ernest P. Worrell must head to Africa to save the girl of his dreams from a group of diamond smugglers. Brackets, direct to video.
You know, Jim Varney was really working hard during the 90s, wasn't he?
He does four parts in this one, so that's definitely true.
But I just mean the sheer volume of these that he's cranking out in...
Oh, yes.
...in like an eight-year period is terrifying.
If you're interested, in this one he plays Ernest P. Worrell, Auntie Nelda...
Right.
...Hear You the Hindu... And African woman dancer.
Oh, my God.
The review I saw for it saying, don't worry, Ernest doesn't black up, although he does brown up.
Oh, which, God.
Which is probably not better.
This is the 90s. How are we... Oh, dear. The past is a foreign country.
It really is. Are you ready for 10?
Yeah.
10. Ernest brings off a horse. then f***s all c***s in tight horse. Spoke cock rick fucking of cock pits one hits three brackets direct to video.
I think that was a direct to X hamster exclusive, wasn't it?
This was just it was a direct to evil computer. Only available on evil computers.
Ernest brings off a horse. That's a thing that you wrote down.
And if you're not feeling romantic already with the evil computers and the Ernest films,
that's number three and number two. We've established that. That's law.
I felt the theme of this episode was going to be romance, but I realise now it's bastardry.
Yes, it is.
And that ties in very nicely with our final chart this week.
It does. Right, so we've got Cracked.com's 10 least romantic love song lyrics.
Quite a lot of these songs, I did a little brush through there to find it. And I'm like, oh, I know all them songs. And then looked at lyrics and like, that's the lyrics? So... let's just crack on. At 10.
The face is Stay With Me. So, am I just reading these out?
Now, the bit anyone remembers is Stay With Me, Stay With Me. That's all everyone really remembers. But I'm guessing there are deeper lyrics than that there. So, yeah, do you want to...
Well, yeah. Okay, so the particular lyrics that Kevin Hill of Cracked.com has pulled out here are... Won't need too much persuading, apostrophe. I don't mean to sound degrading, apostrophe. but with a face like that, you got nothing to laugh about. So, that is Rod Stewart
literally
commenting on someone else's appearance.
The worst man.
The commentary here says that lyric is a good for a trip directly to dry penis.
I would have said punch in face land, but yeah, that works.
Both?
Yeah.
Both.
Why not? Let's not be picky about these things.
Indeed. Number nine. Right. I am very uncomfortable reading this one, not for the reasons of the lyrics, but for having a white bloke reading out rap lyrics is very rarely... entertaining, but this is Snoop Dogg's. You got the bleeper ready.
God. This is the one he did with Akon, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I'm sure there was a radio-friendly version of this.
Well, it's not this. Grab you by your coattail, take you to the motel wholesale. Don't tell, won't tell. If you pick me, then I'm a pick on you. D-O-double-G, and I'm here to put this dick on you. Not on you. On you.
Oh. Yes, the single version was I Wanna Love You.
Of course it was. Of course, obviously.
I watched the Addams Family yesterday.
All right.
Apparently Snoop Dogg plays Cousin It.
He does.
But you can't understand a word he's saying.
Nope, not a word.
It could listen to be anybody.
Yes, it could. That's a bit like Ben Schwartz doing BB-8, you know. It's the...
Well, yeah, that's fair. But he was just building up so he could get that Sonic the Hedgehog Millions.
Pretty much.
That's what he was after. Eight.
At eight, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Still You Turn Me On.
Right.
When you're buried in disguise by the dark glass on your eyes, though your flesh is crystallized, still you turn me on. Every day a little sadder, a little madder. Someone get me a ladder.
I'm banging a giraffe.
Now, I'm not a tall man, Ben, but a ladder seems excessive.
It's, yeah, no, unless you are literally breaking into somewhere. In which case, it's probably not advisable.
No.
No. Who do you think was the one responsible, Emerson, Lake or Palmer?
I think it was a mix of all three. I think they all contributed equally.
They're all holding the ladder. Oh, dear. Also, that skin, that thing about the skin and all that, isn't that what happened in last week's Doctor Who?
Shut up. Spoilers.
Some gays.
Stop.
Seven.
Number seven, Jimmy Webb, MacArthur Park. Now, I'm familiar with MacArthur Park. It's a very long song that should not be considered a love song anyway. Because any time it has a chorus that repeatedly talks about wet cake is not... it's not for anyone.
I live to hear it read.
Anyway, right. As we followed in the dance between the parted pages and were pressed in love's hot fevered iron like a striped pair of pants. I don't... What is... What?
I know. He's had to use the iron to get the cake out of his pants when he sat down by mistake. And wet cake on pants.
His striped
pants.
Striped.
That is the only... No.
No.
Again, I'm questioning that as a love song in general.
Agreed.
But you know, if a pissed Richard Harris bellowing for 9 minutes doesn't get you off, I don't know what will. Oh, God. What are we at? Six?
Yep. Prince, get off.
Get off!
Yes, I thought that was coming. Good. Okay, right. So... remind me of something James used to say. I like him fat, I like him proud. You gotta have a mother for me. Now move your big ass round this way so I can work on that zipper, baby. Because tonight you're a star and I'm the Big Dipper.
I mean, a few points. Let me work on that zipper.
Yeah.
So she's wearing trousers, which is very... modern, you know, we appreciate that.
No, it could be a dress. Dresses have
unless it's a cagoule.
Also cagoules, yeah.
And now I can't stop thinking about a woman in a massive cagoule.
What, with Prince trying to get it undone?
Yeah, and she, because he's a Big Dipper, it's because they've got the Blackpool Pleasure Beach. And he thought, if I pay for a few rides, I'll get me tops. You know.
Oh, dear.
At least it's like a frontier land at Markham. Shut. Five.
Five. Mr. Broken Wings.
Ugh. You can take your broken wings and...
learn to fly again, yeah.
No, stick them up your ass.
Is that, yeah. Right, no, fair. Right, so... baby, I think tonight we can take what was wrong and make it right. Baby, it's all I know that your half of the flesh and blood makes me whole. Yeah, talking about blood. Definitely talking about blood.
Good times.
Unless you're a goth band, you can't talk about blood. That's a rule. That's the thing.
And also, just in general, it's not a good song.
No, it's not.
But it's always on those, like... I remember in the 90s, you know, there was a lot of 4 CDs for the classic rockies, rocking classics of classic rock. Yeah. The best classic rock, rock classics. And it always had Broken Wings on the advert.
Yep, because I imagine the... It didn't cost a lot in PRS fees, I'm assuming.
Oh, dear. Number four,
Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon.
Robert Edward Oliver Speedwagon.
Okay, good.
From the Speedwagon brothers.
Yeah, of the Connecticut Speedwagons, yeah. right. You should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe, but you didn't listen. You played dead, but you never bled. Instead, you lay still in the grass, all coiled up and hissing. Yeah, comparing a woman to a snake. That definitely works.
Oh, he's trying to cop off with a snake.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure how that works. And also, never gonna find out.
No. I don't... It's why would you... Oh.
I love you, baby. You're a bit like a wasp.
Also, the previous line being, hey, we're even bleeding. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. Yeah.
Snow. But, you know, again, another one of the songs you only know the chorus. And then again, probably on one of those greatest rocking greatest songs. Not to be encouraged. Three.
Paul Anka, You're Having My Baby.
Ugh. No, I'm not. I mean, refuse, and you can't make me.
I mean, Paul Anka to me is... It's got Paul Anka's guarantee void in Tennessee. right, let's do some words. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. Oh, I guess you think I'm all right then.
I wasn't sure if she liked me, but then she says, oh, I'm having you, baby. Which is impressive because I haven't met her before. You know, next one's yours, pal. Next one's got your name written all over it. Also, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's not the basis for any long-term relationship.
Should we move on?
I just don't.
You don't want to have Paul Anka's baby.
Number two.
God. John Mayer, Your Body is a Wonderland, which is already...
Your body is a wonderland.
Not a good start.
Again, I know the song, I only know the chorus. In fact, the title, pretty much. Yeah.
Right. God. 1 mile to every inch of your skin like porcelain, one pair of candy lips and your bubblegum tongue. I don't know.
That's an 80s glam metal band.
I feel grubby reading these. I don't like it.
Also, John, you know who eats bubblegum predominantly, don't you? It's children. So, stop. Just stop. Stop.
I'm not arguing.
Stop.
I have nothing to add to this. You are correct. That is what he should
shame,
do.
Because I quite like No Good Thing. That's a good song by him, but that's not.
Shame he's just awful in general.
Number one, the least romantic lyric of all time is...
Right, The Turtles with Eleanor, which I've never heard of at all.
You might not if you hear it.
Maybe, okay, fine. Right. Your looks intoxicate me, even though your folks hate me. There's no one like you, Eleanor, really. Eleanor G, I think you're swell. Mm. And you really do me well. I mean, fair enough. It's good to be appreciative. You're my pride and joy, etc.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's why, like, all Valentine's cards end with and so forth.
P.S. Nice tits. Oh.
No, that still... There's still more to that as a phrase than there is just going, and all the other things.
The worst thing is that Eleanor by the Turtles has got 5 credited writers.
Five?
Yeah.
Right.
Every member.
And what, none of them could think of anything better than et cetera. Which doesn't actually rhyme with anything before it.
Would do.
So to be clear, the end of each line is, so you've got me rhymed with me. then you've got swell rhymed with well, which is really the same word, but one of them's just got an extra letter at the start. And then you've got et cetera, which is not rhyming with anything. So I don't... Oh,
Eleanor, your love is firmest. Come to mind and what slam dunk earnest.
No.
And so on. Et cetera, et cetera, pad it out of the edit.
And all the other stuff that has thus far gone unsaid.
Yeah. Well, if that hasn't done it for you, I assumed at the start of this podcast, basically, there were two young lovers on the sofa just waiting for the right moment to I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm told it's smashing. And they've listened to this, and now they're properly in a situation to phone a taxi and never speak to each other ever again.
Hooray, we're doing our part.
By the way, this has been sponsored by the Christian Temperance Movement.
They're not going to like some of those things we said, Ben. I believe they consider the method is as important as the message.
I think it's mainly just the method is hitting it with a spoon until it goes away.
Oh, God.
Oh, and I think it's time for us to be hit with that spoon too. Thank you, as ever, to everyone on Patreon who supports us and gets the two extra Ducklets charts a month. So you can hear that from just $3 a month if you're on Patreon. And if you just share it on at Ducklets Chart on Twitter, tell your friends, tell the world, tell Collier's Magazine, unless the computers have been listening to this and have decided to form some terrible nuclear event. In which case, all that remains is to say goodbye. Until next time, I have been Arabon Quicksand.
And I have been etc.
Good etc.
Bye.
Ernest C. Worrell is here.
The printer is not online.